Good morning, and welcome to Greater Good. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being, and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, some articles from Greater Good. How to talk with boys about masculinity. Conversations with your teens can counteract harmful messages from society and help them to grow into confident, caring young men. By Joanna Schroeder and Christopher Pepper, October 8th, 2025. Boys get a lot of messages about masculinity and how to be men. Unfortunately, they often sound like this. You act like a girl. Take it like a man. Don't be a beta. Grow some balls. Never let them see you cry. Masculinity is often defined by dominance, stoicism, physical strength, and the ability to provide. It has perhaps been even more defined by what it is not: soft, sensitive, emotional, feminine, or queer in any way. For many men and boys, there is little room to express fear, anxiety, depression, or even tenderness. These expectations are stubbornly persistent and can be very limiting. Without an outlet for their more complicated emotions, many men deal with stress by drinking or using drugs, sometimes with deadly consequences. We interviewed more than 80 boys while writing our book, Talk to Your Boys, 16 conversations to help tweens and teens grow into confident, caring young men. Over and over again, we heard how much these restrictive messages about masculinity influence their lives, their behavior, and their relationships. Fortunately, we also found that there are ways to talk with boys that will help them to connect with their true selves and with the people around them. What's the hardest part of being a boy today? Trying to look tough and be masculine. Not being too girly or liking weird things like certain TV shows or video games. This is a quote from Javier, age 15. Being expected to provide absolutely everything and being blamed for stuff without being able to fight back. From Roberto, age 14. The inability to share feelings and emotions with peers and trusted adults. From Nadive, age 15. Being held to a standard of being strong and not affectionate. From Carson, age 15. Boys learned early that if they stray too far from acceptable behavior, their masculinity may be called into question, sometimes with gentle teasing, sometimes with verbal slurs, sometimes with fists. This policing of masculinity starts young. Research by Judy Y. Chu shows that boys at 4 and 5 years old are highly relational and emotionally perceptive. In her book, When Boys Become Boys, she writes, "The boys in my study demonstrated a remarkable ability to be astute observers of their own and other people's emotions, sensitive to the dynamics and innuendos within their relationships, and keenly attuned to norms and patterns within their social interactions and cultural contexts. Chu notices a profound shift starting in pre-kindergarten, when the same boys started to focus more on impressing others than engaging with them, withholding their personal insights and being less direct and authentic with others to preserve their place in the social group. Essentially, they started to assume the traditional cultural code on what it means to be a man. Chu doesn't think it has to be this way. She writes that the antidote to this change is to foster a culture of relationships that provide different values and information on other ways of being. As boys get older, she argues, conversations about masculinity may need to change. We also need to recognize different factors that influence what it means to be a man to your boy, among his peers and out in the community. Masculinity comes with a set of perks and pitfalls that are often tangled up with race, age, body type, and other aspects of diversity, says psychologist and author Donald E. Grant, Jr. These intersections push young men into rigid templates of who they should be, he told us, while society practically hands out gold stars for avoiding anything that resembles introspection. As parents, we can encourage our boys to resist the confines of this rigid template of masculinity in a wide variety of ways. Grant suggests practices like mindfulness, meditation, and yoga. He recognizes that for many men, those sound about as appealing as voluntarily giving up the remote during a game, but encourages us to reframe these practices as ways to grow a different type of strength. By teaching boys and young men how to flex their critical thinking and emotional intelligence muscles, we disrupt that cycle, he explained. We push them to try on new identities, see what fits, and figure out what feels genuine in the moment. It's a bit like mental spring cleaning, keeping what resonates, tossing what doesn't, and coming out with a version of themselves that's actually their own. Conversations about masculinity. According to our experience and the advice of other educators and researchers, you want to be able to talk about masculinity without being too serious or pushy. Pay attention to what your boys are watching, playing, and laughing about, and use those interests as a starting point for conversations around masculinity. Here are some examples. Scenario: you see a dad out and about with young children without a mom or a partner around. Try saying, "Back when I was your age, a dad out with young kids alone would have been considered unusual. People would probably ask if it's daddy babysitting day, as if a dad can babysit his own kids." Ask, "Isn't it a weird scenario to think that for so many years, people thought dads couldn't take good care of their own little kids?" Scenario: you see a man wearing feminine colors or clothing items on TV or out in the world. Try saying, "I love that some guys feel comfortable wearing whatever works for them and don't always have to follow these old stuffy rules from the past. Ask, what do you think? Scenario: you see a man crying on TV or even in person during an emotional moment. Try saying, it was very rare for men to publicly cry when I was your age, but holding in emotions is very bad for people, and so I'm glad more people understand the power of vulnerability these days, especially from men. Ask, what do you think when you see a guy crying? Would you ever feel like you could cry in public or in front of your friends? Scenario: you interact with a man working in what might be considered a female career, like a nurse or a kindergarten teacher. Try saying, one of the coolest things I've seen happen in my lifetime is the way so many careers have opened up to people regardless of gender. There are so many women CEOs now compared to a generation or two ago. And there are also more men taking up nursing. Ask, I wonder what sort of benefits there are to having men in caring professions like this. Or, can you imagine yourself getting into a caring profession someday? Don't try to address everything in a single talk. The goal should be to start talking about these topics and keep the lines of communication open. It often can be more effective to have 60 one-minute talks than to have one 60-minute talk. We want to create a world where boys are comfortable accessing and expressing a full range of emotions, whether creating community and helping others is seen as a sign of strength. It's a change that benefits boys for sure, but also their friends, their families, their future partners and children, and the world at large. Thankfully, things are changing, and boys are looking for guidance about how to be real men while also being their authentic selves. And the two books that were cited during this article are When Boys Become Boys by Judy Y. Chu, C-H-U, and Talk to Your Boys by the authors. And here's information about the authors. Christopher Pepper is an award-winning educator based in Berkeley, California. His work has been featured in Edutopia, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the New York Times. You can reach him through his website, mrhealthteacher.com, or on Twitter at mrhealthteacher. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, brought to you, bringing you Greater Good Magazine. And here's a related article, How to Raise Boys Who Are in Touch with Their Feelings. A new book argues that we are hurting boys by not helping them value their emotions and their social connections. By Jill Suddy, September 6, 2019. After college, psychologist Michael Reichert worked as a counselor at family court, helping make recommendations for many teenage boys caught up in delinquent acts like stealing, fighting, and running away from home. When reading through police and school reports, he would often be struck by how many of these offenders had had extremely troubled, heartbreaking experiences of abuse and neglect. There was a common thread, an unspoken tragedy at work in my client's stories. Their maleness, he writes in his new book, How to Raise a Boy, The Power of Connection to Build Good Men. In each case, a confounded sense of self, some degree of numbness and cluelessness, disconnection and mental isolation lay behind choices that ranged from self-defeating to self-destructive. The problem is one that's rampant in American culture. Boys are raised to ignore their feelings or at least keep them bottled up inside. But this only prevents them from understanding themselves and connecting with others in deeper ways. Reichert's book argues that by pushing boys to reach some cultural ideal of a real man, devoid of feeling and never vulnerable, we are ignoring their social needs and making them sicker, sadder, angrier, and more volatile. He calls for us as parents and as a society to raise boys differently so they can grow in positive, healthy ways. The cost of boys' disconnection. Though much of the current cultural debate spotlights the suffering of girls and women in society, still a critical issue, of course, Reichert's book shines a light on how disconnected males suffer too. For example, boys generally enter school less prepared socially and behaviorally and adapt more slowly to the school environment, making learning more difficult for them than for girls. They also tend to receive harsher punishments for misbehavior in school than girls, and especially boys of color, making them miss more school time, which puts them more at risk for later criminal behavior. As they grow up, men who adhere to male stereotypes most strongly tend to suffer setbacks. They are more likely to be depressed and suicidal and to have relationship troubles. They often feel disconnected socially and carry distorted beliefs about sex and love, such as believing that their sexual urges are uncontrollable or that they don't need intimacy, that can lead to misunderstandings or worse, sexual coercion or assault. And they tend to receive poorer health care and die younger than women. Disconnected males show up at the wrong end of gender gaps in education, employment, and civic participation, writes Reichert. What can be done to turn this around? It will probably not be easy, as accepted gender roles are hard to change overnight. As Reichert points out in his book, many parents still hold to the myth of the mama's boy, spoiled or made soft by loving attention. As boys grow, they are often called upon to fight and to distance themselves from their male friends or risk being called sissies or considered gay when they are not. The historic model of boyhood, unchanging for generations, is woefully behind the times, writes Reichert. The social pressures to conform are hard to ignore, but the damage they do is unmistakable. How to raise a boy. Luckily, the news is not all grim. Reichert offers some important tips for parents who want to help the boys in their life grow into compassionate men. Much of his advice centers around developing closer relationships with boys while helping them to grow in autonomy and keep their humanity at the forefront. Here are some of his recommendations. Nurture boys with love. There is no reason to tear boys away from their mother's arms at a young age to somehow toughen them up. They will move toward autonomy when they are good and ready, and trying to keep love at bay is a mistake. As developmental psychologist Allison Gopnik writes in her book, The Gardener and the Carpenter, kids need loving relationships to help their brains grow, and the warmth, safety, and security offered from a loving parent is necessary for healthy development. The more we deprive boys of this nurturing, the more difficulty they face in life. Listen to boys and show interest. The pressures to conform to toxic forms of masculinity are very strong for boys, even from a young age. To help them stay strong in the face of these pressures, it's important that parents and teachers help boys develop integrity and alignment of their values, goals, and behaviors. An adult mentor, such as a parent, teacher, or coach, who truly listens and shows up with care and persistence, can help boys to figure out who they really are and to follow their own course. When caregivers muster the willingness to simply listen and observe without offering judgments, it can make a world of difference to boys who are trying to develop confidence in their own judgment, writes Reichert. Though sometimes hard to do, listening and expressing curiosity typically works better than offering advice. Encourage emotional expression. Boys have feelings just as girls do. They are simply not encouraged to express them, or they feel unsafe doing so. Parents can remove those barriers by building trust and by checking their own reactions when boys share difficult emotions like angst, anger, or sadness. While it might be difficult not to take a son's anger personally or not be hijacked by your own worries, being receptive to a boy's entire repertoire of emotions helps them to understand the value of these emotions and to recognize and manage them more easily. As Reichert writes, gaining insight into how feelings influence thinking and behavior is the defining skill in emotional intelligence. Promote autonomy, not independence. Too often, boys receive the message that their goal for adulthood is independence, a Lone Ranger kind of ideal, where they act alone and in isolation. But what boys really need is autonomy, knowing how to advocate for their own needs and values in relationship to others. It's important to support boys as they learn this, but that doesn't mean intervening in their relationships or preventing them from experiencing disappointment and loss, says Reichert. Instead, providing a safety net as they venture into new territory will help them to grow in autonomy. Autonomy needn't be pushed. It emerges naturally in the course of relationships, such as when sons and parents disagree about family rules and expectations, and sons are encouraged to express independent thought rather than simply acquiesce. This ultimately allows for disagreement without antagonism. Reichert writes, While compromise and negotiation are always necessary in any relationship, apparent conflicts often evaporate when respect, listening, and the release of tense feelings are encouraged. Advocate for boys. It helps if parents understand the pressure their boys face while growing into men. Too often, adults suffer from their own preconceived notions of what a boy is or should be, and they fail to see their boy's underlying need for connection. Reichert's book is a convincing argument for all of us as a society to better support boys in their development. It's up to us to make sure we don't inadvertently pressure them to conform to some distorted view of manhood, but instead help lift them up. That's the only way to encourage them to fulfill their full potential as men and as human beings. You've been listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you Greater Good Magazine. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.